Welcome to the Only One Shot Studios, located in the great state of Mississippi. I'm Jim Gallagher Jr. I'll be your host. And that was Steve Azar from his album, Indianola. And the song was The Coach. You can find Steve Azar on steveazar.com. He's got some new music coming out. Check him out. He's a big golfer, loves the Mississippi Delta, and loves to play golf. As I said, I'm Jim Gallagher Jr. I spent 1984 to 2000 on the PGA Tour, won five times, played the Ryder Cup, President's Cup, and then went on to the Champions Tour after spending about 8 or 9 years at home with my family, watching my three girls and Thomas grow up, play a little golf themselves. Now I'm an analyst for the Golf Channel, and you can find me on Instagram at Gallagher Jr. or on Twitter at Gallagher Jr. GC. So what exactly is Only One Shot? Well, it's a book written by Vijay Trolio. He's our teaching professional at the Old Waverly Golf Club in West Point, Mississippi, top 100 teacher in the United States, to be in the world, of course. Very successful player, is both in college and as a professional, and decided to go into the teaching side of it. He's written three other books, and I have read them, and he's one of the brighter minds in the game. He's my co-host, and we're going to have some special guests. We got special guests today. Basically, want to give you a little insight on how elite, competitive, gritty, and healthy competitors are made. And speaking of competitive and gritty, we got Cohen Trolio, his son, and he's our guest today. And Vijay, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, Jim, I think we're going to just pick up where we left off. We're going to be talking about the shadowy expanses of accomplishment. So to kind of segue this, you know, we spoke early about the expenses of instruction, or where we should go with instruction. Then we talked to a mother that's been running around investing in her kid's future. And I'd like to start with another real quick reading from the book. This is your father, Senior. And so let's read it out. Senior recounts, chuckling, "Of course there were tough times between Janie and me and the kids when it came to performance and preparation in life, much less the golf course. One of the things we just couldn't accept was a bad attitude, beating clubs on the ground, or saying things like, 'I suck,' from our kids was simply not acceptable. Janie probably had to monitor that more than I did, but I know we were sticklers on those things." Your dad goes on here, "Winning, accomplishment, and preparing are all very far apart in nature," continues Senior. "Winning and accomplishment are fun. Winning big things and accomplishing big things are really fun. But preparing for those wins and achievements aren't always fun."
Dad obviously didn't go to any tournaments and watch Jeff and I play, because those words were mentioned more than once and clubs were banged on the ground. But we did learn from that. I do recall breaking a club. I smashed my, I guess it was a 5-wood. It was one of my favorite clubs. That shows you how stupid it was. Broke it on a sprinkler head. And Dad said, "All right, big boy, it's June. You ain't getting it fixed." So I had to play the rest of the summer without a 5-wood. It was like my 3-wood. It was the club I used all the time. So I quit breaking clubs for a little bit of time. That was my punishment. So, Cohen, I'm sure you never did do that. But, you know, your dad's a good friend of ours. Why did you, and what got you started in junior golf, or just playing golf in general?
I grew up around it. I was fortunate to have you around and your whole family. So I learned a lot of how y'all did it. And Dad being an instructor here, I had a bunch of good players come around, and I kind of learned how they hit it, saw the ball flew when they hit it, and tried to, I guess, copy it.
You know, you talk about that. I mean, as a young kid, I mean, what's that like? You know, seeing some of these really good college players, you got Mississippi State players here. You'll see some Ole Miss players come in here, work with your dad. And I mean, Alabama, a lot of players work with your dad. You're getting to spend some time with these top college players and even some professionals. I mean, what's that like for you? I mean, what do you learn from them? And you talk about, you watch how they hit the flights. I mean, what is one of the things you can take away from that?
I think one of the first things I learned was that when you have a lot of curve on your golf ball, it's hard to score, because everybody I've been around who's been pretty good, the ball flies relatively straight. And I guess I learned a lot of how they kind of manage manage their attitudes, but especially like course management stuff. So not short-sighting yourself, and really just learned a bunch about course management.
Wow, that doesn't sound like me when I was a junior in high school by any means. You've learned a lot. And I think that's one of the things. I mean, you are probably more exposed to that. Of course, your dad's teaching. He's got all the equipment. The game's changed a lot since I was growing up, and you're around that. So you have better instruction. You have Old Waverly and Mossy Oak, which are great courses. You got great competition. So that's a pretty tough combination to beat. But, you know, your dad's your instructor. I know he's going to read something from the book. How difficult is it for you to separate dad and instructor when he's teaching you? Take that away. This is dad criticizing me or my instructor criticizing me. How difficult is that?
Yeah, it was difficult early to get caught on to for sure. Because just the fact, I mean, he caddied, him or mom caddied for me till I was like, whatever, 10 or 11. And then you kind of get into like 13, 14 throughout high school. It's like, your parents, I guess, you think they're dumb or whatever. But
Okay, do you hear that? I want that repeated. He thinks his parents are dumb. But you know what? You've learned something. They're not, are they?
No, they're not.
That's great. But I thought mine were too. So get in line, bro.
But,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but him as a coach, I never really thought he was dumb, honestly. Like, he knows what he's talking about. I've trusted him forever, but it was hard to separate it out just because you have your dad up there. You hit a ball to the right or something. He's like, whatever, tells you how to fix it. Well, he's not necessarily saying that to like make you more mad. It was just to like help you. And so if you can, I guess, get the concept of, like you said, your coach is telling you that, not your dad, then I think you can rock it pretty good.
All right, Beach, you got something you want to...
Well, yeah, I just want to segue our listeners into, you know, the understanding of, yeah, the parents are going to put up a lot of their time, a lot of their energy, a lot of their money. Yes, it's an investment, it's a sacrifice, whatever you want to refer to it as, but there's one other piece here. Winning and accomplishment are fun.
Yes.
Before that takes place, the athlete, we'll just use this one standing in front of us, the athlete has to sacrifice a lot too. So mm-hmm. I would like to, Cohen, I'd like for you to talk to listeners and parents and other players. Like, what do you think are the things that as a young man that you've sacrificed? What are just some of the pieces that you've sacrificed and you've put your time into, and how do you handle that?
Well, I think that you definitely sacrifice some of your time, but I don't know. It's not a ton of time. Well, I guess it is, but you learn like that. I guess when to have you have some fun when you're not on the golf course before and after. But, you know, I think it was hard to kind of get in your brain that you can't let golf define you, so you kind of have to have some time off the golf course, because if you let golf define you, I'm sure many other people can tell you that it doesn't take a good toll on yourself.
So you're saying, like, if you play, you shoot 63, you're the greatest person on the face of the earth, or you shoot 83, you're the worst human alive.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a very mature approach. I never really learned that till I was 58 years old, which was just last week, because it did. I mean, I think I struggled with that. I mean, I played well, and I, you know, this and that, but then when I played bad, it's not a personality character flaw.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a great point for any junior golfer when you're out there, don't let it, or any player, it doesn't matter what level. I'm talking when I was a professional, I struggled with that. So I think that's something that needs to be out there in people's minds. And, you know, you've got a younger brother. Mm-hmm. I had a younger brother. We want to squeeze their heads off most of the time. Uh-huh. But what's that like? What's a typical session with you, your dad, and your brother? Do you separate it? Do you guys take lessons together, play together? I mean, how's that work?
Well, I guess we play together basically every Sunday. Just me, Dad, and Collins. And then lessons, you know, Collins is different than I am, and I'm different than Collins in good and bad ways. And most of the time is separate, me and him, if you're just talking me and him in the Bay. Now, I mean, man, Collins.
He's on another planet. It's like my brother Jeff. Yeah. I mean, he's a younger brother. he approaches it a little freer. You're the oldest, which I am, so we're a little more, I don't know what's the word, fearful, or a little more aware. I think you talk about this in the book, don't you, PJ, about the older one, or maybe you just tell me this and I just think it's in my brain. But the oldest one's always trying to, and you're learning as a parent when you have an older child along the way. There's no book out there, no manual. We always laugh about that, but we had to learn along the way. We're tougher on our oldest. We expect more sometimes from our oldest, so we have to be aware of that. The youngest one kind of falls in line. Maybe as an older one, you feel like you're getting away with it. Some things a little bit more he is or she is.
Yeah.
So I think you struggle with that. But it's got to be fun to have someone that's competitive because
You
know you don't want him to beat you.
Oh, no. And I know that he's a gamer. He might not be out here for 3 days, then go fire a little 65 out there.
So has he gotten any of that co-introlio? Like, you got a little Jim Gallagher Jr. I heard in one of your press conferences, which you did, and I laughed. That was one of the funniest things I've ever heard. But, folks, that is true. He did whoop me, and we'll continue. But has he gotten any of you yet? That. No? He hasn't got you yet?
No, he has. Yeah, he got me in that high school state championship. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it happened. And, you know, that happened with my brother. I mean, he got on tour, and there was always a little competition as the oldest one. I'm not going to let him. And once he did, then it was over. It was no big deal.
Then he kind of has his moment on the 18th green when he beats you, and then it's kind of – but you get about a week after that, and nothing ever happens.
The two, Cohen and Collins, and also we have two others that are – they're all on the same junior golf team. So I train the four of them in group sessions. And then – maybe once every 10 days, 14 days, they'll break off and I might see one of them privately, right? Mm-hmm. But Cohen, continuing on the things that you've sacrificed or the time that you've invested in your game, winning big things and accomplishing big things are a lot of fun. Okay. Do you have a blast when you win golf tournaments?
And practicing. I think I get excited when I know the practice is working. And I mean, I think when everybody succeeds in practice, they're working, or they know that it's working. I mean, it's
now, how much of that wanting to work and wanting to practice, how much of that's curiosity, like wanting to know how much better it can get, and how much of it's like just trying to get great?
I think that they kind of go hand in hand. I know that if I do the stuff that you've told me to do, or any teacher's told somebody to do, if you do it and they know what they're talking about, you're going to get good. But I think that there's a big difference between getting good and great, because you have to – I think it's a difference between focusing when you're practicing. It's the difference between getting good and great.
Now, we talk a lot about preparing for the wins and the achievements. You know, the preparation that you guys go through here with me, Jim alluded to it earlier, talking about separating dad from coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've spent the better part of your adolescence in a little metal building back there with a metal roof, and me yelling and hollering at people about how they're moving. Tell the listeners about that. Tell them what it's like to, number one, win.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody kind of gets that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But number one, win, and then contrast that to training, like behind the closed doors. The stuff that senior –
what goes into it? I mean, it's not just you wake up one day and you go out and win a tournament. You have to put some effort into it.
You know, sometimes these commercials are thrown up where it's like, you know, go get them, little Johnny.
Yeah.
But we know good and well, knowing Jimmy and knowing senior, that sometimes senior would ride up and tell Jimmy he was crossing the line and Jim would have a nervous breakdown.
Absolutely.
Right?
Still do.
Right?
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about what's it been like preparing for accomplishment and winning.
I think anytime you're sitting in, or it's our gym or whatever, but when I'm sitting there doing something, Dad's like, get it better. He's not saying it to hurt me, but you know, I might be like, I'm doing it best I got. Like, I don't want to change that. He's like, just get it better. And of course I have a little bit of lashback. And I'm like, why do I have to get my right foot to stay stable? Or like, what, why? And I think, oh man, the questions, if I question why I'm going to get my backside break good, I'm also going to question when, after on a golf course, when I hit a right shot, I'm going to be like, well, I don't know the feel to get the break good, so it's not, I can't fix it, if that makes sense. So I feel like the gym, what goes on in the gym and what you're telling me to fix, if I get all those down and you're telling me to fix it and that feel, as soon as I figure out why I'm doing that, so if you say it's to hit it right or whatever, the ball's going to go right if you don't hold your break. And I get on a golf course, the ball goes right, well, then I know that feel from sitting in there in the gym to fix it.
So when you say hold your break, I mean, I've not heard that term.
Yeah, it's just having a stable right side.
Okay. I mean, because the words change.
Yeah.
I haven't quite changed with it. I keep, you know, you got to kind of dumb it down for me.
So, all in all, when your practice, so to speak, or your training, like all that time spent in that metal building or all the work you do, it's not nearly as much fun as winning an accomplishment?
I mean, it's not as fun as winning, but I think it's just as fun as competing.
Yeah, why?
I don't know, because I know that if I do all my stuff, like I know I can do it on the golf course. I don't know.
Right. And then contrast that person that's standing there in the gym.
Yeah.
Right? Because we got to remember, a lot of the people listening to this are parents and they're players, and they're trying to understand this relationship of coach-parent, mm-hmm. you know, the big part that families play in the success of a kid, right?
Yeah.
So contrast me in – the gym,
okay,
versus me on the golf course.
Yeah, in the gym, like I said, it's like fix this, like we're gonna make it as perfect as we can, and like the feels and all that, just make those as good and as solid as you want them to be. And then on a golf course, of course, it's just like if you put that work in the gym, like it's golf, you're gonna hit it right and left maybe a little bit, but you know, as soon as the ball goes right or left, it, like you can just say maybe key on that thing a little bit, and you're not near as technical on a golf course as you are in a gym.
That's interesting, because we talk about the modern player. I mean, workout was be trying to get another hamburger to eat, or we just didn't work out. Now, when I played basketball, we ran, we worked out, but back then we were afraid to use weights. We were afraid to lift weights. Oh, it's going to ruin your golf swing. And you're talking about not only are you hitting balls out of a bay or on the green, you're working out, and there's a process to this whole thing to get yourself ready and prepare yourself for the for the tournaments coming up. So it's not just hitting balls and practicing, chipping, putting. It's about working out. So there's a combination. Y'all have a process going through that. I mean, is there? You sound like you love the workout part.
Oh yeah,
that just about as much as, which is fascinating to me, because I want the final product. Yeah. I wanted to put the time in, and I love the place.
For our listeners too, don't get lost in thinking workout like pulling on rip cords.
No.
We're talking about moving well and letting the kids feel when they're moving really well. Yeah. And then tying that to the golf swing into shots, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm.
And so would you say that I'm a parent? Like caddying.
Oh yeah.
You say I'm 100% parent caddying?
I think you're in between a parent and a coach, because on a golf course, like you're not throwing the stuff on me in the gym that you would when we're on the whatever 14th hole at the Pinehurst, wherever, or the Western Junior. Like you're not throwing that on me, but you're also not parenting me.
I know you're itching to go play because the rain's finally stopped and you want to go play, and we're not going to keep you from doing it. We're going to have a couple little things going, and we're going to take a break after that. But you talked about Pinehurst.
Yeah.
And you talked about your dad caddying. I mean, what was that experience? I mean, you're a semifinalist in the U.S. Amateur. I mean, you were 16 years old, right?
That's right.
16 years old, I couldn't find my locker. I keep saying that, and I couldn't remember the combination, let alone play at that level. I got a thrill out of watching it. What is the biggest thing you took out of that whole week? I mean, there's so many things I know you learned, but what would be the biggest thing you took out of that week?
I would say slow down.
Okay. What do you mean by slow down?
Like when you get – so I guess the first time I was down, I think I think was that last day. I think it was the first hole versus Andy was when I got down. And I started going kind of fast the first three or four holes. And then we got it back to normal. And then I think I went down two on 11. And, like, you could tell I'd done a good job of staying – even though I was up earlier in the week, I did a good job of, like, telling myself, slow down, slow down. And then I got two down. It was just like there was just an instant, like, we need to get back up before 16, 17. Like, we need to get all square before it comes down the stretch. And so I felt like the routine got a little bit faster. This is after watching it. When I was doing it, I didn't really have a clue.
So are you able to slow your mind down? Does your mind speed up in that situation? Or, I mean, what happens when you're saying about slow down process? I mean, that's the only thing I always tell kids or players or whoever, is when you get nervous, if you don't have a...
Yeah, you stop looking at the pin sheet. Now you're just looking at the green. I think that's... And then you start looking at flags when... Earlier, you were looking at the pin sheet. You're deciding where you're going to hit it. Well, now we're just looking at the flag and hitting a five.
So you stay out of your process and you're kind of your routine, and your mind speeds up.
Absolutely.
How do you? How would you? I mean, there were matches that were tight, but how did you slow your mind down and stay in that?
Really,
process?
It's just realizing. To me, it was realizing that you are going fast, because everybody's going to have three or four things they do when they go fast, like step, like, you know, like mine would be. I get a little bit fast in my routine. My routine goes down. Well, then my routine starts fading away. Then I start three-putting a little bit. And then I start three-putting a little bit. Then I start missing shorter ones. Like, that's just everybody might have a different way of them going down. But if you can catch yourself not, you know, not looking at that pin sheet, or even when you after you hit a three-putt, instead of going the other way, you take it, like, you take it back and slow down. So I think anybody, once they realize they're doing something, can calm themselves down enough to...
That's great advice. And we're going to let you go, because I want to ask your dad a little bit about that experience. And I know you need to go out and play and practice. I'd go play with you, but I don't want any of you right now.
I hate to bring this up, but is there any chance that you could learn what you just talked about on a driving range?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. It's that experience playing. We're proud of you. You learned a lot. I mean, I think you learned a lot about what you can do, the do's and don'ts. We talked Absolutely. About it. We're not going to get into detail. The social media, keeping up with that, dealing with the media.
Yeah.
And that's maybe for another podcast. We'll have you on again. But we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back here in a few seconds. That was Steve Azar with The Coach from his album Indianola. We took a little break there. We had Cohen Trolio in, semifinalist in 2019 U.S. Amateur at Pinehurst. You know, great summaries he had. VJ, we talked about him and his experience. What was that experience like for you? I mean, you were a dad, instructor, kid. You had a lot of jobs going on that week.
Yeah, it was a full week.
Full, yeah. How many holes did you walk?
I don't know.
But how did you separate that? I mean, that has to be hard, because, I mean, you're in – you had – basically, there's three different jobs. I mean, you're his dad, so you're emotionally tied in there. You're his instructor, and you got that mindset.
Yeah.
And now you're a caddy, so you have to listen to him.
It's not like you go from zero to 100 just like that. I mean, there's been, you know, years and years and years of him paying in and investing in himself, of Allison investing, of me investing, of us investing in him investing in himself, him investing in us. So it's really not that big of a deal when you look at it from, you know, from the end going backwards. It's like, that's the reason you do what you do.
Right. What did you learn from it yourself? What did you learn from that experience, just yourself?
I learned that I can walk 69.8 miles.
And caddy in the rain.
In
what
the
were
rain.
You like, the guy from one of the movies, Eddie, I can't think of his last name, but you were, yeah, I mean, that's always tricky. I mean, what did you, I mean, I know you learned something, but what did you learn about Cohen? I mean, because here's a 16-year-old thrown in baptism by fire. I mean, he was just hoping to make match play, let alone go to where he was.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what when you see it pop up. So when you see somebody come on the scene, mm-hmm. like the media nowadays and technology kind of puts it out there. It's like, whoa, there's this new up and comer. For me, it wasn't any of that. You know, I mean, I know how much he's invested. I know I know how much time and resources that have that he's put into himself that have been put into him. So I didn't learn anything
that you didn't already know about your kid and him
as
a player.
That's right. Now there's from a parenting standpoint and from a coaching standpoint, there's a confirmation. I mean, you got to remember that coaches do their very best, but there is, you know, what athletes call confidence, coaches call confirmation. It's like, okay, cool, this recipe is working, or, oh, goodness, this recipe is not working. So, you know, the biggest thing that I learned or I saw that week was it was confirmation that the work that he's putting in and how he's putting in it in and is good enough. For if he meets his expectations on the golf course that he has for himself and his expectations off the golf course that he has for himself. And if I hold athletes accountable to meet those expectations off the golf course and on the golf course, then they're, you know, it's right there with world-class.
Well, you talk about expectations and you've done with professionals, college players, now Cohen. I mean, how do they go to the next level and not put that pressure on themselves that they're supposed to perform like the semifinalists?
Well,
the
you
USAM
just got
to
you have to get away from the drama and the movie of nowadays, right? Of technology, and you have to just look at it for what it is. It's going to take a lot of investment from the parents. It's going to take a lot of investment from the athlete. And all that investment, if done correctly, is supposed to come out with something. And there are going to be trials and tribulations. There are going to be failures. There's going to be success. It's going to be all over the board. You could look at it a lot of different ways. And ultimately, the person has to be able to deal with it based on what they expect, not
everybody
not
else.
What everybody
and that's
expects.
The challenge for everybody. I think we all have gone through that, and I know you have. And you talk about, you know, you've spent this money, you've invested this time, but when you were there this to the semifinals, was it all worth it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna read something real quick from the book and. And here we go. The truth is that accomplishment takes time. Mm-hmm. Failure is a part of the process. Maybe God gives this type of understanding to parents and participants. Maybe it can be learned. Just know that behind everyone you see on Sunday afternoon, there are many behind the scenes that helped carry, pushed, and sometimes threw the individual down the slippery slopes of accomplishment.
I think that's a good way to end this, and I think that's from Only One Shot, which you can get on Amazon. You did a great job with that, and you did a great job with Cohen. I had it. We'll get him on again because, I mean, it's fascinating to listen to a 16-year-old, 17-year-old speak the way he does, very mature. I know you're proud of him. Way more mature than I was, and probably you as the former pine cone picker you were as a kid. But, no, it's great to see kids, and I think, you know, you and we're going to close her up, but we talk about, I mean, why – this big push in Mississippi golf and golf in general, A, better instruction, people like you, better golf courses, better information out there, and people and parents who are willing to put the investment in, and the time. It's not just money. It's about the time and doing
it properly.
Yeah,
the kids have to, you know, you gotta remember the kids have to see somebody do it, right? That's how all of these things start happening. And so the kids have to see it. It has to be desirably difficult. That, like, they have to see that they can attain it. It's possible.
It is, and you see with Andy Ogletree, grew up in a little bitty small town, played the Mississippi Junior Golf Association, now at Georgia Tech, wins the U.S. Amateur.
That's right.
Cohen, what he did, Allie McDonald made the Solheim Cup team. It can happen. A lot for Mississippi golf here in the summer of 2019. That's all we got for today on this podcast. We appreciate Cohen filling in, and we're going to let Steve Azar take us home with the coach.
What were you thinking on that play? Take a lap and when you come back, maybe you'll do things my way. Let me tell you why, don't let things slide. If you can live through me, you can get through life. Around here, what I say goes. Out here, what I say goes. 'Cause I